Thanks for tuning in to Beats Research Radio, a podcast and YouTube channel that aims to disseminate science and research to the community. My name is Nicole Chu, an undergraduate student at the University of Ottawa. In today's episode, we are honored to be joined by Dr. Brokoslav Leshchowski. Dr. Leshchowski is a Ukrainian-Canadian researcher working in the Tamerti Faculty of Medicine at the University of Toronto and the Toronto Rehabilitation Institute. He specializes in the design of wearable robotic technologies such as exoskeletons or prosthetic legs. Dr. Leshchowski is also the National Coordinator for Canada for Science for Ukraine, a global initiative that provides resources and support for Ukrainian students and researchers who have been affected by the Russian invasion and war in Ukraine. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So to start off our conversation, I'd like to ask a bit more about your work, your research work. Do you mind sort of explaining your research focus at the University of Toronto?
Yeah, so I guess generally speaking, as you mentioned, I specialize in a field called wearable robotics. This is kind of, as the name suggests, like robots or even general computer systems that are worn by individuals that can be used like out of the lab and in the real world. And the two of the main technologies that I focus on are prosthetic legs for people with amputation and exoskeletons, which are worn kind of by individuals with biological limbs that allow them to kind of stand up and walk if you had a spinal cord injury or a stroke. And so my team and I, we focus on this at the University of Toronto, trying to develop new machine learning algorithms that allow these devices to be able to react to the environment and control themselves in a somewhat autonomous way. And so my wife often describes my work as I design bionic legs that can think and control themselves using artificial intelligence. So maybe that's like an easier way to describe it to a non-technical audience.
Oh, that's a cool analogy. And as you mentioned, your work focuses on the design and control of these wearable robotics, but as some of us might be familiar with, depending on the material, might be big, bulky, hard to maneuver. So how does your team sort of make them more translatable to the clinic?
Yeah, so we actually, they're used in rehab labs and in some respects clinics now. What we really want to do is to take this out of the lab and out of the clinic and into the real world. So it's not necessarily providing assistance to patients when they're in the clinic or when they come to the lab, but as they're walking to the grocery store, as they are playing with their grandkids, as users are going about their daily lives, we are providing that assistance and allowing our patients to be able to move and be physically active and reap the benefits of physical activity and kind of healthy active living by providing technologies that allow them to be able to walk either more efficiently or perhaps by minimizing their pain. So this is an incentive for them to then go be more physically active. And all of this is done by kind of various ways of somewhat offloading some of the loads that would typically be experienced by the body that in some of our patients may not be able to withstand. And so we use these technologies to be able to kind of replace the propulsive function of, in the case of an amputated leg, or in the case of an older adult or somebody with a neurological impairment, of a leg that has some type of weakness or of impairment. And so that's really the purpose of these kind of bionic legs, as my wife describes them, is to replace the function that the otherwise healthy limb would provide. And in the case of our patients, they have some type of mobility disability.
Oh, that's really interesting to see. And sort of switching gears from your research and jumping more into your other roles, do you mind explaining more about Science for Ukraine and how you got involved with this global initiative?
Yeah, the origins of that are a little bit complicated. So as probably many of your viewers know, so Russia invaded Ukraine in February 24th of 2022. At least this is the newest invasion. They, you know, let's keep in mind that they did previously invaded and started a war within East Ukraine back in 2014. But the recent invasion happened in February 24th of 2022. And about 2 days later, a researcher from the University of Latvia, she created a Twitter page called Science for Ukraine. And at the time, I'm very active on Twitter, especially within like the science world. So science communication is pretty big on Twitter. A lot of researchers use Twitter for science communication and for disseminating their research and grant opportunities and scholarship opportunities and job opportunities. And so we in the science community use it quite extensively. And so I also happen to be Ukrainian Canadian. And so that's more of my personal life. And so when I found something that kind of came across on my Twitter feed that was about science and about Ukraine, this was kind of, it was kind of a perfect blend between my personal life and my professional life. And I thought this sounds like a really good initiative and something that I could meaningfully contribute to. And so I reached out and we connected on Twitter. And I was kind of one of the early, I guess, developers of Science for Ukraine. And created the Canadian team, and we started kind of putting together resources and support. But more broadly, Science for Ukraine kind of now is really one of the world's largest kind of global initiatives to provide resources and support to Ukrainian students and researchers that have been affected by the recent invasion and war brought on by Russia. And so we really act as a platform to more or less serve as the middleman between students and researchers in Ukraine and then host institutions and funding agencies that can provide support. And so we've created a quite extensive database. I believe as of now, we have over 4,000 universities and or departments that have offered to provide fully funded opportunities for students and researchers. And so any students or researchers that have been affected by the war are more than welcome to go to our website, check out our database. There's many, many opportunities there. All you have to do is reach out to whichever university or universities within a country that are attractive to you and perhaps align with some of the things that you want to continue to research and study. Contact them directly. And then from there, you can go and visit that host institution for some period of time that is specified, and that differs depending on the post. And so I would say that's one of our main goals is to provide this database that allow Ukrainian students and researchers to provide that to find opportunities temporarily while the war is ongoing, and more long term, Science for Ukraine, but maybe even like more specifically just myself and the initiatives that we're doing here in Canada, we're now looking also beyond the war. So once, hopefully the war ends soon and Ukraine can regain their independence maintain their independence. We're trying to think about now, what does the rebuilding of Ukraine look like? And so how can we then provide incentives for tech companies to then drive like economic growth and technological growth within Ukraine? How can we help rebuild the education system and to keep Ukrainian talent within Ukraine and to encourage other universities and other countries to be able to provide opportunities, whether it be through collaborative grants or collaborative research projects, or maybe even exchange programs. We're trying to think now more long-term, once the war is won, what can we do in terms of, rebuilding the economic infrastructure and the education system within Ukraine. And so I think that a lot of my, at least my attention has been now shifted more towards that.
Oh, and speaking of these opportunities that you mentioned, for anyone interested in getting involved, be it like researchers, students, or general members of the community, do you have any recommendations or areas maybe you would like to raise more awareness on?
So for those in the academic sector, I would encourage your institutions to offer funded opportunities, obviously, to Ukrainian refugees. And to also work with your local and national governments to find out what kind of support can be provided in terms of perhaps accelerated visas and accelerated work permits or study permits, what type of funding opportunities are there in terms of covering tuition, but then also the cost of living and flights. Within that domain, I would also encourage people within the academic world to speak with your institutions and find out what type of remote work opportunities can be provided. So it's great that thousands of students and researchers have already been placed through our program at various institutions around the world. We also need to be a little bit mindful that the overwhelming majority of Ukrainians and thus Ukrainian students and researchers are still in Ukraine. And so it's important for us to provide those individuals with support as well. And so what type of remote work opportunities are available to these individuals and then really communicating those opportunities and engaging with those still in Ukraine. So I think remote work opportunities is very important and something that we should be putting more emphasis behind. And then if you're not in the academic sector and you're just an individual in the general public and just a concerned global citizen, I would, as many Ukrainians have, and I just want to reiterate what many Ukrainians have already probably said, Ukraine needs more support in terms of funding, in terms of humanitarian aid relief, in terms of military support. And so the war is still ongoing. I appreciate that it's been a relatively long war. You can imagine how the people in Ukraine feel. But I understand there, you know, in the West and in Europe, there is possibly some exhaustion. But the war is still ongoing and they need our support. And so please encourage your governments to provide that support, attend rallies, continue talking about the war in the media, disseminating the war crimes that are happening by the Russian military. I think all of these things are really important to help bring awareness to the war and thus continue the support that Ukraine needs in order to regain their independence.
I see. Thank you so much, Dr. Lischowski, for sharing with us your research work and also your work with Science for Ukraine. It was a pleasure. Yes.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And thank you so much to Beats listeners for all your time today. Beats Research Radio is supported by the University of Ottawa Heart Institute, Beats Research Laboratory, and the Department of Microbiology, Immunology, and Biochemistry at the University of Ottawa. On behalf of our entire radio team and our radio director, Dr. Emilio Alarcon, we hope to see you all next week.